this is Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we're very happy to be here. Today we have a guest. It's Len Horowitz, and Len is a really fabulous doctor, and I have done an interview with him on the Project Camelot site for those of you who aren't familiar with his work, and we can also get him to give you his websites. So he will be joining us in just a few minutes here. He has some important information about the source of who is putting the swine flu vaccine out there, and so we're going to be talking all about that. And Len also has written all kinds of other books on viruses and outbreaks and what's really going on with the New World Order and the whole thing behind population reduction.
I think the phrase is the whole nine yards, as you say here in America, right?
Exactly. So, okay, someone else is trying to reach us on our phone here. All right, so we are also going to be taking calls while we have him on the air. He'll be with us for at least the first hour, and then we'll see how it goes after that, depending on his time allowance and so on. So is there any news that we want to convey to people before we go on to bringing Len on the air?
We went to our mailbox, as we tend to do every few days, and came back with a big armful of packages. We want to thank everyone who's writing to us and sending us information. One interesting package we received was an anonymous that is a phone call coming in. You need to decline that because we're on the air. Okay. You can make yourself invisible is one thing you could do on Skype, because this is one of the problems. Okay. We got
situated next to Roslyn Chapel, which was constructed.
Okay.
Hold on one second here. Sorry, we're very much in demand at the moment, and we're getting phone calls right and left. There might be something going on right now because people are trying to reach us all of a sudden. I don't know what that might be, but we'll have to wait and see. As far as I can see, we're still on the air here. We did get a lot of mail. We've gotten some very interesting things. One person sent us some photographs that appear to be of some kind of recent military installation. I think it's from Minnesota, but I'm not sure. And, of course, we're getting other information as well. We are attempting to get in touch with Jordan Maxwell, and we are also going to be meeting with him again soon. Several of our witnesses are being invited to do other conferences, and we also have other conferences in the works. So there's a lot going on that is sort of sprouting out of our last weekend's Awake and Aware conference. We'll be right back after the break with Len Horowitz.
Slow down.
I wanted to give Len an introduction.
The end is not as far as the stars. Please stay a child somewhere in your heart. We'll be right back.
This is Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're on the air, I hope, with Len Horowitz. Len, are you there?
Hi there, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to hear your voice.
Pleasure to join you, too. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing some very important work, and so we wanted to have you on. I know that... there is a recent article out in the news basically saying that you've done some extra investigation into where the swine flu is really coming from. And I really wanted to start off with talking about that.
Yes, we've basically broken the story wide open, not just of where it's coming from, but who's actually involved. The highest levels of the business and biotech industries, as well as the links between these incredible genocidalists and the mainstream media moguls. So it's really an amazing bit of research that Sherry Kane, who's an investigative journalist, and I worked a couple weeks on, and man, I'll tell you, the story is just a complete blowout at this point.
Okay, can you go into the details about what it is that you have found?
Sure. First of all, clearly the virus itself, it's a laboratory creation, and we cite the laboratories. You're looking at James Robertson's in the UK, his laboratory with Dr. John Wood. These folks are the World Health Organization's influenza directors, and so we now know for sure that the U.S. response at Centers for Disease Control is coming down from the Rockefeller-linked World Health Organization. And Rockefeller, David Rockefeller particularly, plays a huge role in the trust that we have cited and exposed using hard documents that even link this David Rockefeller biotechnology vaccination industry trust to the partnerships of New York City, which includes a fellow by the name of Larry Silverstein. It's the Silverstein property and the World Trade Center property where the lease of this cartel, this drug trust, is operating from, and that, of course, ties it in to 9/11 and the terror attacks that, according to all the evidence, and surely the investigators have done a wonderful job in 9/11 truth movement and investigations therein. Larry Silverstein, of course, is implicated in having said, we're going to pull Building 7, and so there's a lot of very, very great and grave revelations that we bring into the vaccination issue that nobody was aware of, how these parties, these devil doers, are linked. Beyond that, the Rockefeller co-chairman for this British royalty chartered. It's actually a British royalty, royal family, King George organization that David Rockefeller is operating in New York City. This trust is chartered by England, and that's really not a surprise to investigators of the globalization and the Anglo-American neocolonialism or globalism, which we're also looking at this Anglo-American pipeline for vaccines, rushed vaccines that are obviously hideously toxic now with the tremendous amount of work by other wonderful investigators have determined that the adjuvants and the toxic chemicals, the ingredients, besides the active ingredients, which include these genetically engineered H1N1 with segments of H5N1, which is the avian flu. Essentially, the research is very clear that these vaccines are hideously toxic and they're genocidal. They're intended to make people sick. They're intended to then make profit off of humanity's suffering. And then, above all, they're intended to reduce population. And so, again, it doesn't surprise anybody, including our office staff, that the Rockefellers are engaged intimately with this, because it was the Rockefellers that put together the Population Council, which has become the world premier depopulation council. And of course, sitting in the White House currently is John Holdren. He's the a science czar for the Obama administration, and he has been the co-author of Ecoscience, that calls for massive sterilization through vaccination for depopulation. And so this is what we're seeing in America, but now we've added the components of how the mainstream media plays into this. You know, if anybody's wondering how calm it is and who's responsible for the censorship and the lies, example that these vaccines are safe and effective and they're going to be adequately tested, coming through the mainstream media, well, we've now determined that partners, literally intimate partners, not just with Rockefeller in partnership for the city of New York, but partnership within the drug cartel, within the vaccine manufacturers, the six companies and the major companies that are producing vaccines on planet Earth, besides the six companies that are producing specifically H1N1 more flu vaccines. These organizations are intimately tied to media moguls, including Rupert Murdoch, who, of course, runs Fox, owns Fox, and numerous other cable networks and print media sources, and other major players in mainstream media. So this is a stunning revelation, the affidavit that I have on fluscam.com. If people want to get the best information really on the planet right now, insofar as the flu scam, go to fluscam.com, and the affidavit is a page that has 23 exhibits of the documentation that the affidavit is based on that these revelations relay, and it's just stunning implications engaging, as I've mentioned, these parties, but also your top AIDS czar for the United States. There's an intimate connection to the swine flu virus that's circulating, the vaccinations that are about to be administered, that are currently in testing, and that this AIDS issue is brought back to the forefront because Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's the AIDS czar for the United States, he is the director for the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. He is the principal promoter on mainstream media of getting vaccinated with swine flu vaccinations. And now we find out that this man has a conflicting interest. He is a co-patent holder on one of the ingredients in the adjuvant in the what's called MF59 by Chiron, which is one of the ingredients in the CSL and Baxter vaccinations. We have additional stunning revelation that we're just coming out with today, that the ingredients that Baxter is using, they're actually, first of all, producing the swine flu vaccinations. Now, you have to understand, Baxter is an American company, but America is not buying any of their vaccinations. They are being sold, virtually all of it, to European nations, which is a little bizarre. But we don't have the full evidence of why that is, but there's got to be something that has to do with litigation forthcoming. And the Baxter Corporation, we now know, is producing the H1N1 swine flu vaccinations in contaminated monkey kidney tissues, just like the SV40 problem we had with polio vaccines that spread cancers around the world, and SV40 linked to HIV, the AIDS viruses, and that are causing the hideous millions. I mean, we're looking at probably currently about 40 million people worldwide have died of the contaminated vaccinations that contained SV40 and the recombinants from the hepatitis B vaccine that was produced in contaminated chimpanzees. Both of those suppliers were the same, the suppliers of the chimps and the African green monkeys to produce both the polio vaccine as well as the hepatitis B vaccine that was given to gay men in New York City and blacks in Central Africa at the same time that triggered the international AIDS pandemic. They were virtually done by the same organizations, Merck Pharmaceutical Company, that likewise plays into this partnership for the city of New York, the Rockefeller, David Rockefeller directed trust that was chartered by the Royal Family of England. Rupert Murdoch is co-chair of this partnership, this trust. And if you look at CSL, it is a major vaccine manufacturer for Australia. Australian government's contracted with it. Right as we speak, this hour, this organization is testing their flu vaccinations in babies, in children, and in pregnant women, in healthcare organizations that are run by Rupert Murdoch's mother and daughter-in-law in Australia. So really what we're looking at is a complete inside job of a relatively small group of industrialists who are now implicated using hard, cold, documented evidence and science in global genocide using vaccinations for depopulation.
Okay, that's an amazing summary you've just given. You are naming names and company names as well, and I think that's very valuable for people who want to investigate further. I did want to ask you, what kind of reaction are you getting to this latest article that is out there?
Well, the affidavit is getting a very, very positive and widespread response globally. There are a lot of people right now, and this is really an urgency. Our time is running out. The fast-track vaccinations right now, they're supposed to be finished testing within the next couple weeks, which just is one of the indications that we're looking at not a scientific and even public health initiative. We're looking at genocide, which is strictly defined. I'm not using that term sensationally here. It's defined in Webster's Dictionary as the mass killing or enslaving of people for profit, politics, and or ideology. So that's all of those elements are applied here. Certainly this is profitable for the inside players. Certainly there is a political agenda. We're obviously witnessing the legislation that is in many ways threatening and in many ways really eliminating the civil rights we have under the United States Constitution. And then the ideology of these devil doers is that we need lesser people on the planet. So this is a covert operation to affect that ideological orientation. So we're really looking at classic genocide. And the response internationally is everybody who's been engaged already in trying to stop this, and those people who are now coming in that are initiating lawsuits for temporary restraining orders on either the FDA or the local health departments, because again, everything is coming down from World Health Organization, Rockefeller directed WHO. Rockefeller is really, if you study my earlier books, you know, you look at emerging viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, we show you the intimate connections the Rockefeller has. They virtually have monopolized. They've monopolized over the last century American medicine and public health. And that's a historic fact. It's not, you know, conspiracy theory. It's actual documented conspiracy reality. Interesting also, not a coincidence, is the Rockefeller's Blood Council, the first blood council in the world, researchers involved in blood science, and blood transfusions, is the Rockefeller Blood Council for the city of New York. And that went on to become the New York City Blood Council. First it was a council of doctors, then it became a blood council in the city of New York, and then it became the American Red Cross. So you might remember when in the 80s we had the American Red Cross transmitting HIV/AIDS through contaminated blood supplies, and you had class action lawsuits against Bayer Corporation for blood clotting factor 8. Bayer is, of course, linked to IG Farben, primary Nazi and currently neo-Nazi organization that is, again, engaged in genocide as they were in World War II.
That is true, and that's very interesting to link it up to IB Farben, because we have information from Jim Mars and the whole Nazi connection. So it actually does go back to that.
Yes. And then...
I did want to ask you, are you having any interest from major media in some of the things that you are talking about here?
What would you anticipate?
Well, I'm assuming not, but I am aware, for example, this isn't exactly major media, but KPFK has started to talk about this subject and started to open this up to people.
Yes, indeed. I was interviewed on KPFK about a month ago, and I look forward to getting back on KPFK, especially since I'm in Southern California at present, and we have been reaching out and probably will be working with KPFK. Again, though, that's nice. It's a public interest, but I wouldn't consider it mainstream media. And
right.
And to answer your question, clearly not. You know, we're really looking, when you look and you read the affidavit, I mean, you're looking at Thomas Glocer, the director of Reuters News Service. So you've got the Associated Press in the United States and Reuters News Service, which is really controlling the planet's, at least the Western world's, information. Both of those people are heavily implicated. You've got Murdoch, you've got Glocer, you've got the Ketterman, who is in charge of U.S. News and World Report and numerous other periodicals. And these people are intimately engaged, not only, as I said, not just are they partners with David Rockefeller in the Partnership Trust in the city of New York. Not only is this the world's leading biotechnology consortium, not only do these people make the medical markets and are advancing the Genito Pharmaceuticals agenda, everything that they're doing is engaged in advancing genetic engineering for pharmaceutical manipulation and medication of the population. That's their key. That's their focus. And then not only are they engaged in that, making and breaking markets, these are the people that break the natural foods industry, the natural healthcare products industry. These are the people that are engaged in Codex Alimentarius legislation to suppress all the alternatives in healthcare. So we're really looking at, with healthcare reform, and what I'm about to come...
Hi, I guess we're breaking...
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about...
Gary Cassidy and Bill Ryan, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're on the air with Len Horowitz. Len, are you still there?
Hi there, yes I am.
Okay, we had sort of a strange interruption right before the break there. I wasn't sure if you were disconnected. So I'm glad to hear you're still there. Okay, what I was wondering was, in light of basically the agenda that's being rolled out by the powers that be and the fact that we can name names and see, you know, trace to the root of who's causing this and why and their philosophy and so on, I'm wondering if you're aware of this, at least in the United States, of certain states perhaps move to secede from the Union. Have you heard of anything about that?
Yes, I understand there's a movement not only in Texas but also in Maine, and I heard some similar ramblings in Vermont, and it wouldn't surprise me that others would follow suit.
Right. But on the other hand, there are also states that are actually passing legislation to allow these vaccines to happen. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, again, Massachusetts is the most hideous example of this consumer fraud and genocidal malfeasance. You have $1,000 per day fines and jail time that can be levied by state statute for people who resist. You know, I would urge people to go to fluscam.com and review the information, but also download a copy of Attorney Alan Phillips's book. It's on vaccination waivers and vaccination exemptions. And Attorney Phillips is one of several attorneys with whom I've been communicating, including Larry Beecraft and a number of other very, very astute constitutional attorneys. And quite frankly, according to the attorneys, and I'm not clear why they haven't filed anything definitive yet. I'm working with non-licensed attorneys that are filing suits. We're about to file one. I just sent a signed affidavit off to Washington State, as I had believed and thought that I would. Now that's sent out. I sent the affidavit to the FBI in Los Angeles County the other day. But I'm concerned that we're not doing enough. We don't have enough attorneys out there that are the humanitarians that are going to step forward and advance what this is a violation of, primarily U.S. Constitutional Amendments 1 and 5, where you have freedom of religion. And the consensus among the attorneys, and if you read Alan Phillips' highly recommended book, you will see that it is virtually our only hope. You know, your average Joe person out there listening now, what are you going to do? Well, gee whiz, if you know the Constitution of the United States, it states that you have religious freedom. You can go to the publishing company's website. My publisher is tetrahedron.org. There's a folder there in the article archives for vaccinations. If you click on the vaccine folder in tetrahedron.org, you'll find two important articles. One is called Vaccination, the Ungodly Practice. The other is called What Jesus and Moses Would Say and Do About Vaccinations and Tuberculosis Skin Testing. And it shows you in the Old and New Testament, and so whether you're a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim, the Quran does the same thing, shows you that you should not be polluting your blood with squalene, adjuvants, foreign genetic materials from monkey kidney tissues or chicken embryos. And so you have absolutely a religious law, regardless of your religion, that says do not do this, do not mix, Leviticus 19:19 says do not do genetic engineering on your own body. Don't even mix seed. And so you don't want to mix the genetics. You have now a religious law that says do not do this. So you have a First Amendment freedom of religion, civil right to exempt. But you see that the executive office, the president's office, can put out executive orders that shall not change or alter the Constitution of the United States. Likewise, the health officials from the various states, and if you're involved in litigation in this regard, you have to be wary of the fact that the feds have their people placed in the states, in the state health departments. And what you're talking about is the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, which empowers the state public health officers to declare an emergency based on the World Health Organization. That's what they're planning to do. And the decree will come out sometime in October, very likely, at which point then the state officials that are in bed with the federal officials, and if you sue the state, don't name a federal official. Make sure you don't do that, because you'll lose instantly. And then what you have then is you've got to take the state on and file a temporary restraining order on these vaccinations. And the best way to do it is based on the science and the lacking testing. Because obviously, if it's only testing right now for 6 weeks administration, fast track, based on previous studies, that's what they're doing. They're fast-tracking this testing, saying that, oh, well, we've tested in the past, and the new vaccines are much like the old ones, so we don't need to test again, which is hogwash, because the new hyper-concentrated adjuvants and the new ingredients, such as Dr. Anthony Fauci's interleukin-2 and the new revelation of monkey kidney tissues being used with SV40, these kinds of scientific facts are now our greatest hope for advancing injunctions and temporary restraining orders. So that's the only thing that I think we can do as a person. You've got to rely on your religious exemption, and no state, no president, no Congress, no statutory law can supersede the U.S. Constitutional Amendments 1 and 4 and 5 that are being broken here. An additional new piece of legislative opportunity, or I'm sorry, litigation opportunity, is the fact that the Constitutional Amendment states that if the government of the United States or any state government takes someone's personal property, they must provide reasonable compensation for that property that they've taken allegedly in the best interest of the public. Well, in this case, the vaccination agenda is when you get injected, it is taking your natural immunity. It is substituting for your natural God-given gift, your number one protection against infectious diseases. It is actually now injecting in the alleged hope that this is going to prompt what the desired outcome of protection is. But that doesn't happen. You get injected, you get hypersensitized, you get immune compromised, and that's basically what the science is saying and what the media is suppressing and withholding. And the bottom line is that you can take these cases on for temporary restraining orders, citing the fact that these are poorly tested, inadequately tested, a lot of science says that they're no good, and they pose a real threat to the public's health at this moment. And then there will be likely judges that will rule in favor of issuing a restraining order. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you've got your personal religious exemption that you must assert very, very assertively and knowledgeably. So study up, folks. Get the truth that shall set you free, not half the truth. Half the truth is still intoxicating. And
let's get back to the really nuts and bolts, though, of when you're saying there's a religious exemption that you seem to think that they're gonna step back from. What exactly are you saying that people need to state under that circumstance?
Well, that it violates their religious freedom, that it violates their theological faith in the Old and New Testament laws of the Creator in the Bible that states you shall not create blood intoxications. I mean, really, the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's all about blood covenants, the contract, the real contract between you and the Creator is the love in your heart that issues faith. It's the faith that opens up that channel. And so the blood, it's the life is in the blood. That's a quote from the Bible. The life is in the blood. Well, what about the blood? It carries the life. If you look seriously consider spirituality and energy being a vibrational manifestation of electrons, the electrons source from only one source in the universe, that's water. And in the beginning of time, in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1-1:2, you see that the water is part of the triune God. Even before the Holy
Spirit. Len, but you know, what I'm trying to do here is actually translate this, if you will, for the average person listening to this who doesn't have sort of the use of language in relationship to any kind of, rather than religious, I would say spiritual, discipline that they do have, and they aren't able to necessarily quote scripture and or, argue this philosophy with, whoever comes to your house and wants to give you a vaccine. And to be very honest with you, I sincerely doubt that's going to prevent them from doing anything. But let's say you're correct. Let's say it's possible to state that you have religious objections. And then let's say that you say it goes against your Christian religion and is stated in the Bible, something as sort of basic as, that one should not, there's a covenant with blood and that blood shall not be interfered with, and I know you have other words to put it in. So if they state this, are you seriously saying that this is going to stop the authorities from giving vaccines?
each situation is going to be very different. And according to the attorneys, this is the only reasonable, lawful manner to resist the intrusion and intoxication of injection. This is the only thing we've got. The religious is the only, it's the last hope. You know, for years now, for about 5 years, I've been working with the only ministry in the United States that has been dealing with this. I sued actually the federal government of the United States at one point, and currently the state of Hawaii. And I can tell you that, you know, I'm as frustrated as anybody. Where are the rest of the churches and the synagogues and the mosque? Where are these people? They're not around. And so really, it's kind of like somebody wrote to me the other day, it's so true, that the vaccination issue is the line in the sand. If we allow this, if we let go of our religious option and violate the U.S. Constitution and neglect religious freedom, that is the death toll. That is absolutely death knell for America, period. Because it can't get any worse than that. You've got faith in God, and it says on your dollar bill, in God we trust. But yet we inject and infect and intoxicate ourselves based on the medical deities injecting what the Rockefellers and the World Health Organization says we've got to inject. I mean, you can't get any more, become more of a hypocrite and hypocritical and ignorant than doing that. And so this is, it's a fundamental breach of not just common sense, but everything that we hold dear about America and our right to exist on this planet as sovereign spirit-filled beings.
Yeah, I mean, we're in complete agreement with you there, and I do appreciate your honesty here in stating, you know, what you think might be the last resort, certainly here in the United States when faced with any kind of forced vaccine. The other thing is that we're also, it's a worldwide phenomena. I am seeing that in France, for example, they're stating in a recent newspaper article that there's only 15 people have contacted the virus so far, what they're calling the H1N1 virus. So at the moment, it's hardly a pandemic. However, they are stating that they will, if in the case of a pandemic, they will, in essence, force vaccinations. We're going to go to break here, and we'll be right back with Glenn Horowitz. Thank Cassidy and Bill Ryan, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. We're on the air with Len Horowitz, and we're talking about the swine flu vaccine program and the New World Order and their plans to roll this out. Len, are you still with us?
Hi there. Yes, I am.
Okay, great. And you're doing a great job, I must say. And thank you very much for being there for everyone and being at the forefront of this, of exposing this.
Well, my pleasure, Karen, you know. Appreciate what you're doing, too. Without you, where would we be?
Okay, well, it's taking all of us. So this is definitely it's actually become a movement. And I think that the swine flu is actually galvanizing people who normally probably wouldn't be involved in some of these issues. Simply because it really hits home directly, and it's also affecting our children very directly. So what I wanted to do was also talk about how it's affecting the rest of the world and what what their situation is and if you're getting any feedback on that. I am seeing that apparently they're putting behind the scenes laws, they're calling them tyrannical in France, and there have been some protests even by their own judges about these possible decrees that are being pushed secretly through in preparation for what they feel is going to be a pandemic. Have you been hearing anything from your sources about Europe or other parts of the country? I understand you did talk about Australia briefly.
Yes, you know, at Canada, we have still, like in the United States, allegedly voluntary. I think the number one issue that we've got to look at, and this is sad, saddens me to share this, but it is something that I think everybody needs to know. Right now, there's no pandemic. There's not, like you said, there's nothing really happening. But yet, you've got to understand that what this virus has been set up to relay is that Reuters, who is Thomas Glocer, who is Rockefeller partner, who is in charge of really the mindset of most of the Western world, along with the CIA's controlled Associated Press, they told us at the very beginning that this was a combination of avian flu. Now, you got to get this. Avian flu from Asia with the swine flu from Mexico coupled with a dead corpse from 1918, the virus sequences that was dug up several years ago against an international outrage and outcry from scientists and virologists, people who said, infectious disease specialists saying, please don't do this. What are you, insane? You're digging up a virus that killed 50 million people. Why would you do that? And they gave us these bogus excuses why they were going to do it. And it was absurd as Baxter Corporation, which is producing in the contaminated monkey kidney tissues the flu vaccine, somehow accidentally releasing avian flu H5N1 in vaccine vials sent to 18 laboratories throughout Europe. So the issue is you're looking at obviously a laboratory-sourced virus to begin with. Everybody worldwide who's investigating knows this. So despite that there's no reasonable, rational sense that this is anything but a laboratory creation, and now that we know who's behind it, we could yell and scream all we want. The parade is not going to stop. It's really just like the emperor's new clothes. You know, you could yell and scream that the emperor's got no clothes, but the parade keeps marching. And what's making the parade keep marching is the media. And I think it's time, and this is what we're releasing today, that we Americans, at least, start to vote with our pocketbooks and do some major boycotting, such as, number one, we're going to boycott Safeway supermarkets to begin. You might ask, well, how come? Because, you know, if you're wondering why food stores and drug stores have replaced doctors' offices and clinics as vaccination stations, look at the wizard behind Barack Obama's health care reform fraud is Stephen Bird, chairman of Safeway Supermarkets. He's founder of the Coalition to Advance Health Care Reform in the United States, and he's intimately connected with every single one of the major manufacturers of the vaccinations and those implicated in the Partnership for the City of New York, this biotechnology trust. So we're really looking at the mainstream media that has control over the public's mind is not going to pay attention to what we're talking about here today. They're going to keep promoting the propaganda as psychological war. It's basically a psyops, psychological operation, covert mind control, for advancing this agenda, keeping the parade moving. And then you've got to ask yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst likelihood, and if I was a betting person, I'd say it's a 2-to-1 shot. That's a very, very likely outcome, is that by the end of October, they're going to release something in a major metropolitan area, probably on the West Coast since they already hit New York. And you'll have full global media coverage of how all these people are getting sick. And this is exactly like the 1960s, the late 60s release of the biological weapons by the Central Intelligence Agency that when Congress investigated that, who was sitting as chairman of the investigation committee into the CIA's wrongdoing was Rockefeller. And so you've got literally the, you know, the foxes that are engaged in the henhouse of public health and mainstream medicine and emergency preparedness and vaccination response, the foxes have been royally exposed, and they're heavily invested now. If nothing happens, what's going to happen to them? So they're going to have to pull something off.
I think this is very good material, and the I'd like to just go back for a minute to the Safeway boycott, because I think that is a substantial way that people can vote with their feet, so to speak, and actually maybe get back at an organization that is going to be instrumental in trying to roll out these vaccines. So I think that's a great maneuver. I wonder if there are other companies out there that people should be aware of and perhaps also boycott at this time.
Up your head, and you ask, is this where it is?
Okay, this is Gary Cassidy and Bill Ryan, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. And I do want to open up for phone calls. Len, are you with us still?
Hi there, Karen. Yes, I am.
Okay.
You know, also, I have my co-investigator, Sherry Kane, with us, too. And if you'd like, I can bring Sherry on. She could share some very important things about...
Fabulous.
Yeah,
absolutely. Why don't you go right ahead and we'll hold off on the phone calls and talk to Sherry for a bit.
Yeah, she's done some wonderful investigation into the Safeway supermarkets, why it is that, you know, you're going in there and right away you're asked to get vaccinated, and they give you some financial incentives to do that. So, Sherry, maybe you can join us.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
Hello?
You're on the air, Sherry, with Karen and Bill.
Sherry, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. It's very nice to talk to you. Obviously, you're doing some cutting edge research, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you very much.
We'd love to hear if you can maybe go into a little more detail on what exactly Safeway stores have in store for people.
Well, they're all part of this big, huge billion-dollar marketing campaign run by Steve Bird, who is the chairman, president, and CEO of the Safeway Supermarkets, and he's also the founder of the Coalition to Advance Healthcare Reform, which the CAHR organization, and he's the one pulling the strings behind Barack Obama's healthcare reform. And what they're doing is they're working overtime to promote this deadly vaccination campaign that's catering to uninsured, low-income, public, and blue-collar workers who basically, when you walk into the store, they'll hand you a flyer and they'll promote that they are giving out the vaccinations for under $30. And then if you don't decide to get the vaccination, then they'll remind you when you're leaving the store while you're checking out your groceries and swiping your debit card that you can get 10% off your grocery purchase if you do get your flu vaccination right there on their on-site pharmacy. And one of the big questions here is, who are these Safeway in-house vaccine travel medicine providers, is what they're called by the Infectious Disease Society of America. And basically what the IDSA is saying about them is that they are untrained and unqualified to administer these vaccinations.
Boy, this is really a 1984, and you know, here we are in 2009. But I'm afraid it sounds really diabolical. Suddenly, your grocery store is going to be trying to persuade you to take a shot.
Yeah, with financial incentives, come right there, impulse buy, go get vaccinated. And so, one of the things that we did is we went to the pharmacist that was administering the vaccinations and asked him, you know, does he know what's in the vaccinations? He was clueless. I said, do you know that they're handing flyers out in front of the store to come visit you? He says, no, I didn't know that. And, you know, this is, I said, and then Sherry, you asked him, is he going to take it? Tell him what happened.
Yeah, I asked him if he would take the vaccination himself, and he said, of course not. And I said, but you would administer it to other people, but wouldn't take it yourself. And I said, would you explain to me why you wouldn't take it yourself? And he said, well, for reasons. I said, well, you can explain to me what reasons they are, because people's health and life are an issue here. If, I mean, I have a big concern with you actually administering vaccinations that you won't take yourself. And he kind of went over the question. He said he didn't need to answer it. He asked me if I was recording him, got very, very nervous about it. And, I mean, I took photographs on the way out, and I got copies of the flyers that they're giving out as well, just to show people that this
okay,
is...
Okay, we're sorry to interrupt. We're going to break. We'll be right back on the other side of the hour. Thank you.
Some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Okay. Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're on the air with Len Horowitz and Sherry. And I'm sorry, Sherry, I need to get your last name.
It's Kane. Kane.
Sherry Kane. And Sherry, you are a journalist, is that correct?
Yes, I'm an investigative journalist.
Wonderful. Okay, I have to tell you guys that I've just went over during the break to the Safeway.com website, and sure enough, there's a huge banner ad before you even get down to scroll down to their site at the top that is flipping around. But what it says is get your seasonal flu shot at our pharmacy today. Huge ad.
That's right. And Safeway, I want to say, is not the only supermarket that's actually in on this. If you go, they have them at Walgreens now. I mean, everywhere you look. I was just at Costco, and they have a sign over there. And what was great is we took a photo of it and put the discounted $20 vaccine shot sign next to the coffins that they sell. So it's pretty. It was pretty funny. It made a lot of sense. And that's going to be in the latest press release that we're working on, is the $20 flu vaccinations offered at Costco in a package deal with the coffins, because once you take the flu shot, you may need a coffin.
Incredible. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to be putting some notes about this on our website blog for sure. Now, I have to say that I may be wrong, but my understanding is that Safeway actually owns other stores. They're sort of a conglomerate at this time.
Exactly.
Well, Farms and Pavilions and others.
Albertsons, is that not right?
You know, I'm not sure. Is that owned by Safeway?
You know, I just don't know. I really, you know, have lost track of who owns what. I don't shop at those stores, so I don't really know who owns them. But I just remember seeing that several of these stores seem to have gone under this, you know, been bought by each other, so to speak, in the last few years.
And those stores happen to be open later than other stores. So sometimes, like, we love going to, like, Whole Foods, but sometimes those are the only stores late at night that are open are those Vons and Pavilion stores. So
that's
correct. They kind of leave it open for your vaccination shot. They have a pharmacist there usually that's there late at night, too, to content everybody with it.
Incredible.
We just say don't roll up your sleeve, that's all.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, there are other aspects to this that I would like to discuss, and if you two don't mind staying on for the rest of the second hour, you're certainly welcome to do so.
Fine, that's perfect.
That would be great.
Okay, thank you. What I would like to also talk about is, in other words, we have other doctors that have come on the show and have been talking about the possibility that the flu, once they vaccinate a certain number of the population, that actually they don't need to vaccinate all of the population, that the virus itself will begin to mutate and also jump from person to person, and you won't need a vaccine to be getting, unfortunately, this the fallout from this. Have you heard anything to that effect, Len?
Yes, that is a real risk, and that's why the vaccination can create the pandemic worsening. Again, because it's a live virus, and Dr. James Robertson and Dr. Wood for the World Health Organization influenza branch sent the various viruses that they selected, including obviously the components of avian, swine, and Spanish flu, to the vaccine manufacturers and the Centers for Disease Control, which likewise advanced it to companies like Novavax, which just was bought out by Novartis, which is one of the main flu vaccine manufacturers. Yes, it is very clear this is a highly unstable laboratory reverse engineered virus, that when it gets into one person, it's going to mutate with other viruses in that one person. When that person sneezes or coughs, it's going to get into somebody else, and it's going to pick up viral segments from that person. So in essence, what they've done under the guise of science and public health, alleging safety testing, is that they are really going ahead like absolute madmen and advancing a unknown type of recombinant into the population that is obviously going to mutate when it goes from one person to another. They've lost control over it. Pretty much, it's in God's hands. And you know, the last time that this really happened in the Bible was in time of Noah, where it talks about the Nephilim. There were fallen angels or Herculeans, like Hercules, Superman, who were coming into the daughters of men, changing the gene line. They were having sex with the daughters of men and changing the genetics. And that's the story of why it rained for 40 days and 40 nights in the Bible. Here you have a circumstance where madmen, basically brainwashed by the propaganda mechanisms advanced by this cartel, this trust, Rockefeller et al., and that they have now acted as science maniacs to advance these plagues that we have no idea what's really going to happen. I was about to share earlier my greatest concern. Because their backs are against the wall, if nothing happens, they're going to look like fools, complete fools, which they already look like to intelligent people. But the reality is they're so heavily financially invested, and they have a population reduction agenda. And so what the likely scenario is that they will create a big outbreak and big media event that is going to then have Barack Obama and his ilk say, you know, well, I promised that this was going to be voluntary, but under the circumstances, we're going to have to mandate vaccinations, particularly for XYZ people. They've done that already for the military. They have done that already for first responders. I'm getting calls in my office from nurses from, like, the Union of New York, saying that their health union, the hospital workers union in New York, is mandating vaccinations. So, again, we've got to go back to the religious exemption.
I think that Alex Jones is also, I just heard something from him earlier today on his show, saying that people are losing their jobs over this now.
Yes, that is true, and we're hearing from them.
They're being fired, in other words, if they don't take a vaccination.
That's right. They are. Now, the people that fired them, perhaps they don't realize that they're violating the Constitution of the United States by doing that. If people assert their religious exemption and an employer fires somebody, they're in big trouble from a constitutional perspective and a litigation perspective. Because, again, the Congress cannot enact statutes. The health officials cannot enact administrative rules, and the President of the United States cannot create an executive order that violates the fundamental constitutional freedoms that we hold dear and the First and Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Okay, well, it's unclear, as we say, whether or not
using that exemption will work. What we'd love you to stay tuned with and get back to us on is whether or not you hear of anyone as this thing progresses who is able to, because I can see that if that's the only way to get out of it, then everyone is going to have to claim that, right? And certainly, we need to see if that's going to be successful.
I can tell you, we already have had some successes. And frankly, I believe in terms of the war for the mind, we've already won. Our team has won. And that's evidenced by the fact that even in PubMed right now, the medical science database, they're showing you the study that was published about 4 weeks ago showing that over 50% of the doctors, the medical doctors in Asia, 50% of the nurses in New York and likewise in England are going to refuse the flu vaccines this fall. They're not going to have it for themselves, their families, or their... Now, those are intelligent people, and that given that we have a majority already there, I suspect strongly we'll have a majority in the general public. But yesterday when I was invited to speak before the Parents Teachers Association meeting, and this is also breaking news. I haven't issued a press release on this because we're so swamped, but here's breaking news more. The administration of the emergency response is going to be primarily administered through Parents Teachers Associations for the school children. What makes me say that is because I have the document that was sent to me in August from our local school officials telling us that they're following simply the guidelines and the recommendations, directives advanced by the public health officials in the county. And so if that's all they're going to do, then we're in big trouble because they're simply going to be given the propaganda to poor parents. That means we've got to really start at the grassroots, and this is what I was doing yesterday with a team of people. We actually advanced the understanding of what we've been sharing on this program to our local school board and to our PTA. And what was very, very encouraging is we had a pediatrician in the audience who I thought maybe he was going to give me grief. Instead, he actually reinforced what I was saying. He said, as a pediatrician in this community, he is absolutely appalled at what he has witnessed is going on in other counties and in other schools, whereby they're mandating and forcing children to get vaccinated. He says that is absolutely appalling, and it's not going to happen in our school district, in our school, and ideally we're going to expand to our entire county and all the schools in our county. But this is the level at which right now we're in urgency. Every single one of you listening must get involved on a local level to protect your children.
Yeah, I think that's very, very wise of you, and I think that's great advice. There's no doubt that they are going to go after the children first, and therefore, obviously, it means that parents have to be made aware, and so you're really talking about a fight that has to be taken really into, as you said, into the public sector at the most grassroots level imaginable, which is into schools and local, organizations for that are involved children and their parents, that are unaffiliated with any of this sort of knowledge sector that you and I sort of take for granted.
And also, I think that the viewers should know that Dr. Horowitz is also going to have the packet available on his website for people. So if they wanted to download that material and take it over to their school, well, the same that was taken over to the school in the district where he is, it would apply. And it has all the different questions and answers that people may have. And really, it will wake them up because I saw people sitting in the room that were totally unaware of any of this, and their face just changed when he enlightened them with this. So it was pretty amazing to see that.
The website, we're going to add a whole page. Again, the definitive website is fluscam.com. And Rob Potter, who's been a wonderful help in advancing the local model that we're going to be rolling out for the nation, we're going to have all the materials, all the letters to the school board members, to the PTA, the things that people need to administer in the local schools and the communities. We're going to have those posted as free downloadable PDF files on fluscam.com, which already has just a plethora of great information. The other comment that I need to make, and just to share with you where we are right now. You know, yesterday or the day before yesterday, I received from colleagues Sheriff Mack. Richard Mack is a wonderful hero and is a good friend of mine. He advanced a YouTube video that says, you know, if these people start to force vaccinations, you just have to go to your sheriff, your county sheriff, for protection. So, you know, being responsible and loving Richard as I do, I said, okay, let's see what happens. I'm going to call the sheriff's office. So I called my local sheriff's department in the research department of our local county sheriff's office. They were totally clueless. Absolutely zero zip knowledge on any of this. And so then I was referred to somebody else, and that's where we are today. This afternoon, I'm supposed to get in touch again with Rob Potter, with our local sheriff's office, because, again, this is a violation of the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, Richard Mack is accurate, but, again, without the grassroots education and educating your public officials, including your sheriffs, these people are going to just go into a panic mode. They're just going to do what was done in Nazi Germany. They're just going to say, I'm just following orders. I'm
exactly.
just following orders. And, you know, you're going to have your children and your whole communities whacked.
Right. Well, I've seen that video. And you know, I mean, of course, Sheriff Mack, I have to say kudos to him for putting that out there. The only trouble is that a lot of sheriffs, as you say, are not going to be very far along in the learning curve, and they're not going to have this information, and they're not going to realize that they need to defend the Constitution. So that's going to be a really big area where sort of knowledge has to be disseminated to these people, and it's a mystery how that's going to happen. I do appreciate that your website is set up there, and certainly word of mouth eventually is going to get out, I do believe, once this thing escalates. But like you, I believe that there could be something, and this may be what the powers that be want to see happen, something of a panic situation going on.
Well, that's exactly Nova Ordo Seclorum. Nova Ordo Seclorum. New order out of managed chaos is essentially what it means. And,
right.
You know, this is what we've seen with 9/11. And, you know, it's the same game over and over again. History repeats. And if you don't learn history, you're subject to being victimized by what's happening currently. And so this is the same scam that was operating in World War II and the same virtual, the progeny of the flares in World War II. And, you know, really, I pray that, you know, I know we win in the end, and I know the Creator is just an awesome Creator, and everything that's happening is unfolding perfectly, and I have full faith and trust totally for the protection of my family and I. You know, I'm just thrilled to be doing the work that we're doing right now, but again, you know, we are our brothers and sisters keepers, and what happens to a child in Uganda or Asia, and it's a tragedy that hurts my heart, because we are connected and this is one family, and I think we better do everything we possibly can. This is the most urgent time in history.
No doubt about it. I do want to say that I'm getting we get information from all sectors, as I'm sure you do. I'm getting word that in Great Britain, they have now decided that general practitioners, or what are family doctors, are going to be the ones who give the vaccine there. And they are saying they're actually going to be given £550. In other words, 5.5 pounds for every vaccine they administer, meaning they're going to make money giving the vaccine itself. I can imagine maybe the World Health Organization, or who knows, is going to be paying that out. So they're trying to give doctors incentive, obviously, on that end for actually giving the vaccine. So that's another aspect of the situation.
You know,
we are having a break here, so we'll be right back, and I'd love to get into this in more depth.
All we want is life beyond.
This is Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're on the air with Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, investigative journalists. And what would be great would be to take a few calls here very shortly. But I did want to ask both of you, and maybe Sherry, you would be the person to reply to this, but I wanted to ask you if you've done any investigation into the link with the Promise software.
Actually, I'm not sure. I haven't really investigated that aspect of it, but I think have you done it, Len?
No, I've got to do. I've heard about it, but I haven't gotten the opportunity to get into it.
Okay. Well, Dr. Truot has gone into that to some degree, I believe, and there are links back to that, which is basically was a software program that has been sort of engineered into a population targeting device, among other things. And it's kind of, I guess, in a sense, it's become an artificial intelligence, from what I understand, in its latest incarnation. But there's a whole long trail that goes all the way back to the trails of the octopus and Danny Consolero, and a journalist who was killed over this matter and his investigations into it. So I would encourage you to investigate that, because that was going on, I believe, back in the 80s. And there are links there to what they're rolling out right now.
And basically, they said it was used to track the movement of terrorists. Is that what they came out with in the Promise software?
Right. That's just the tip of the iceberg right there. Apparently, it is a population targeting software. And this is where you get into the various different strains of the virus, number one, and secondly, the actual vaccine, and the fact that Tamiflu and certain other remedies are also going to be infected with this. And so people need to be careful on a number of fronts, not just one front. And then also looking at how this thing is going to roll out, because I want to run this by you, but from my understanding of the way things are going to work, they obviously are not going to start giving vaccines and then have people start dying like flies, because obviously people would stop taking the vaccine then. They've got to have the thing roll out in a number of stages before, and sort of with some kind of confusion thrown in, otherwise people will basically take the shot and then go out and say, well, I'm fine, so there's no problem.
Yep, you're absolutely correct, and this is the challenge with anybody that has reasonable sense about the vaccines only being tested for 6 weeks. The fact is, most of the autoimmune diseases and all of the cancers start to happen months and years following vaccinations. And so, again, the claim that these are safe is a complete official malfeasance, criminal negligence, and it's just insane. You know, as a public health professional, I'm appalled by what my colleagues in public health across the United States are doing right now.
And another thing is that they're not only asking people to take one vaccine, which is the seasonal flu vaccine, but they're going to give people the H1N1 and then the H1N5-1. And, I mean, it's not just one. They're having two to back up the seasonal flu shot. So if one may make you ill and you may have side effects from that, and then they'll give you another vaccination for the side effects. So it may be a slow process, but I mean, it could be very, very painful for people as well if it's that slow. And I just want everybody to know that whatever you do, and I tell this to children, I've told this to Len's daughter, I mean, if the schools ask, you know, try to come at you with a vaccine, run, just run. I mean, that's the best advice I can give children right now, is if they're coming at you with the vaccination and your parents aren't around, there's nothing, you know, you can do to stop, hold off an adult, but you can run. And that's what I would recommend, because right now there's nothing else we can do. If they're going to come down with this emergency response, it could happen overnight, it could happen today, it could happen tomorrow. They could just turn
it off. That's true. That's true. And for myself, the fact that could, you know, happen at airports is also not good news. What I'd like to do now is pick up a couple calls, if you guys don't mind, and see what people out there would like to ask.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm taking a call here from area code 707. 707, you're on the air. Okay, you need to turn down. Not working.
Okay. Well, that was a Twilight Zone experience.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Let's...
Can you hear me? Or
hi there. You're on the air.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that my son's six and a half years old, and he's never been vaccinated. And I'm in California. I use the immunization affidavit. It's a certificate of objection to immunizations, and it uses California vaccination state law. It's section 3385. And you can get a lot of information about how to avoid getting the vaccines by going to the website, it's thinktwice.com. And
which one was that?
I love Dr. Lynn.
Hi.
It's thinktwice.com.
Oh, yeah.
.com. Oh, the form?
Thinktwice.com is a great website. Yep, there's that one in VacLib, V-A-C-L-I-B. We've got links to those on fluscam.com. And you're absolutely right. We have the statutory laws in most states for religious exemptions already. In California, you have beyond that. Your philosophical exemptions are available, as well as medical. But what we're concerned about here is this executive order and the positioning of the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act that has also been legislated, that if and when there is this emergency declared by a single public health official, then all of those statutes...
Terrible interference here.
Yes,
are you still there, Lynn?
Oh, it's okay now. I'm here, yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have to hang up on this caller. I'm very sorry. We're having some kind of interference there. Okay, Lynn, are you with us? Hello? Okay, it looks like I might have lost Len Horowitz. Can't really tell if he's still with us. We had some kind of major interference there on the line. That was very interesting. So I'm going to go with another caller here in the meantime and see what the public has to say here. And I'm going to call her at area code 434. You are on the air with Project Camelot.
Hi. Hi.
Hi there.
I just want, I'm watching, you might hear my granddaughter in the background, which makes this topic extremely relevant to me personally, especially since I really have a hard time even convincing her mother about the validity of my concerns. But just to kind of clue you in, as I was listening to the program earlier and we were talking about the Safeway promotion, I noticed just as it came into my inbox and my email, CVS Pharmacies sent emails out to the list today offering free flu vaccines and a $100 coupon book.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's another major marketing campaign from another, here in the Midwest, here in Virginia anyway, in the Midwest, it's a very large pharmacy chain.
Okay, well, thank you.
I just wanted to alert you that, and I'll continue listening.
Okay, thanks very much for that. That's very interesting. Okay. Unfortunately, it looks like we lost Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane also when we had that interference. And so I am going to continue here. We only have a few minutes more in the show, but I'm going to go with one more caller here. And the area code is 254. You're on the air with Project Camelot.
Hey, Carrie, how you doing? This is Brandon from Texas, and can you hear me?
Yes, Brandon. Hi, how are you?
Right. I'm good. I just called the Texas Health Services, which is, you know, where I'm from, and they've informed me that they have no no form for the general public for the exemption of vaccinations. They only have them for school children in schools and things like that. So they also said that, you know, it would take an act of the legislature to create something like that. And I'm kind of curious, you know, if there's no form for the citizens in general, how can we legally protect ourselves outside of getting into, like, a violent confrontation when everything goes down?
Well, I think that that's the $800,000 question, or whatever you want to call it. And I hear you. I don't think, as we were speaking with Len Horowitz earlier, and he was saying the only thing that he's arrived at for the general public, and it's interesting how there could be an exemption form for school children, but not for the general public, as you say, that
right.
Basically they're going to have to use, in essence, what is a religious argument in order to say that they should be exempt, almost as if you were going into the military and had to prove that you were a conscientious objector and that you, you know, were a pacifist or whatever in order not to get recruited. So that may be what's going on there. We've got, I got another call was coming in simultaneously there. So in essence, I think that that's the only thing that appears to be even having any kind of a possibility of influencing any kind of situation where you might be forced to take a vaccine. I don't know if that's going to fly if you encounter a roadblock, or let's say if, as Len was saying right before he was kind of knocked off the air here, unfortunately, that if we encounter an emergency pandemic situation, which is in essence what they're working up to. So we're not there yet,
right.
Obviously, but if they do that, then other laws start to apply. And when those other laws come into effect, how much saying that you have religious reasons for not wanting to be vaccinated, I don't know if that's going to really, really hold water with them. I really wouldn't think so. Yeah, I don't think taking one's chances to find out that that you were wrong about that would not be a really good option. So we're going to have to stay tuned on that and see if there is anyone out there who will come forward who has, you know, been in a situation where they've been being coerced to take a vaccine and who has been able to avoid it by stating they had religious objections. So that's a really interesting area to talk about.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, y'all were talking about the Safeway vaccination thing that's happening there. There's also some stores here that are doing the same thing. There's the HEB grocery stores here. I've noticed similar advertisements for the swine flu vaccination. And also CVS, which is another national chain like Safeway. So I guess I just wanted to let other people know, you know, it ain't just Safeway.
Thank you. That's valuable. And so basically boycotting, in my opinion, boycotting those stores is really the only option. If you wanted to, I suppose you could demonstrate with a sign in front of the store. That was also that it may come to that where people are basically feeling compelled to do so. And that may influence some people getting actually a grassroots movement out there with flyers to be distributed in front of those stores before people go in and find themselves being coerced into taking a vaccine might be the way to go. We're coming to a break right now, and we will be right back. This is Carrie Cassidy, Bill Ryan,
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. Actually, Bill Ryan is not with me. He had to take care of something, so he was not able to join us today. Len Horowitz was knocked off the air, and we have been trying to get him back. Apparently, we're getting a very strange message on when we call that number, saying basically that the recording is saying, we're sorry, due to telephone company facility problems, your call cannot be completed. Really bizarre. Don't know what's going on there. It would appear that, someone doesn't want us to be talking to Len Horowitz at the moment. So that's what's going on there. We don't have a lot of time left, but I would like to take a few more calls. So I'm going to do that here. And I'm looking at area code 204. You are on the air with Project Camelot. Hi there.
Hi, Carrie. I'm so glad I got through. That was a real knockoff. The phone lines there, by the way. If there's anything that may assist individuals with avoiding the vaccination, according to my investigations and discussion with a top medical officer, is actually to assert that you have allergies to eggs. Because this
okay.
is due to the suggestion that the vaccines are being created with chicken eggs.
Oh, very interesting. Okay. You'd have to prove that. You might need a letter from your doctor stating that.
It's quite possible. Of course, obviously, refusal on grounds such as that would certainly depend on who it is that's giving the vaccine as well. I mean, a soldier versus a public health nurse may have considerably different emotions on the issue, but that was the only thing that came up with respect to refusing the vaccine.
Okay. Caller, what state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada, Carrie.
Oh, from Canada. Okay, thank
from
you.
Canada.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So did you have anything else you wanted to ask or talk about today? While you're on the line. Oh, I think I've lost him. Okay, unfortunately. Okay, let's go to the next person then. We've got area code 214. You are on the air with Project Camelot. Hello, area code 214. Are you there?
Hello, Carrie?
Yes.
This is Molly calling from Texas. In the state of Texas, you can get a doctor's letter to be exempt from vaccinations for adults, or you can claim religious exemption.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to mention something. I don't know if it's on the subject or not. When Sotomayor was being questioned by our Congress prior to her nomination to be a Supreme Court judge, I think it was Lindsey Graham who was questioning her, and I was watching it live. I don't know if I can recall exactly correctly what was going on, but he asked her a question about our constitutional law. And her answer to that was that there is no law above our constitutional law that supersedes our constitutional law. To me, that would mean that the WHO would not supersede our laws. I don't have any information on where to find it. People would probably have to do some research, but I specifically remember him asking her that question, and that was her answer, and he agreed with her. So it's kind of an interesting point of view.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much for that. I wonder if they would stand by that, and I guess we're going to find out. thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take another call here. Again, we lost Len Horowitz. Actually, I don't even know if I have time to take this call, but let me give it I think we're going to be going off the air just a second, so maybe I don't. But I think that was good advice. The person from Texas who was talking about a letter from your doctor is one way, and then apparently in Texas the religious exemption she believes is going to work. So that's something to keep in mind if you're living in Texas and you come upon the situation. Again, we are hoping here at Project Camelot to get feedback from everyone out there as to what you experience and what you're seeing around you in terms of how this thing is rolling out. And we find it very unfortunate that Len Horowitz was knocked off the air. He and Sherry Kane, an investigative journalist. We were just getting into the Proma software connection and targeting with population groups. What might be an agenda there? Because the vaccine and Tamiflu and other aspects of the vaccination and the rollout in terms of the flu itself. Some of this may not be the same all over the world. In other words, different strains may occur. And there are lots of side issues to that as well. So at Camelot, we're going to continue to report on this matter and try to make people aware as much as we can. And we'll see what happens with all of that. As an aside, if you're in the local area at the Granada Forum, Jordan Maxwell is going to be speaking here in Los Angeles, Greater Los Angeles. It's actually, I believe, in Encino. It's called, I think the name of the, it's called Church of the Innocents, I believe. And you can get the information at GranadaForum.com. And I would encourage all of you, if you have not heard Jordan Maxwell, or if you think you need a refresher course, this man is a real expert on the Illuminati and what the powers that be have in mind. It's 7:45 p.m. tonight, and that's if you live in the greater Los Angeles area. It's probably not too much trouble for you to go there. They charge very little at the door. I don't even remember what it is. It might be something as low as $10. I just don't know. But you can go to, again, the GranadaForum.com website for more information on that. And also, we have a video with Jordan Maxwell. We're going to be releasing on our site just shortly all of the tapes for free of the speakers at our recent Awake and Aware conference from last weekend. So if you missed the live stream and you weren't able to catch that, we are going to be putting the actual footage, the taped footage, on the site as soon as we receive it, which should be later today.
How would you like to cook any...